He's everything to me, more than a story, more than words on a page. Knowing that he went to the cross of Calvary to die for my sins, and I ask the question, why does he love me? Don't know what to say. Don't deserve it. But when we come to grips with that story, and he becomes everything to me, then I will seek to live in such a way that I am a vessel for his honor. Very fitting, very fitting. Nothing to say about the stories of our trip down south and back. You can talk to Jerry and Dan about that. But I am looking for some good proofreaders for the bulletin. My daughter pointed out huge error in the bulletin. Anybody see it? Christopher, a VeggieTale guy. Ah, the truth is known. I put in here Larry the tomato and Bob the cucumber, and it's the other way around. Debbie didn't catch it. And I wrote it, so I didn't catch it. So, all right. A couple of quick prayer requests for you. One, the house that we were supposed to close on this week kind of fell through. A problem with the deed, couldn't get title insurance on it, so we're back to square one. So be praying in prayer about that. And the second thing, next Sunday, I will not be with you. I will be speaking at a church in Michigan. This is not just any church in Michigan. This is a church that Brenda and I grew up less than a mile from. This church, never went. This was the church that we decided when we decided to get married, we would get married in this church. And they agreed that if we would attend three Sunday morning services and have pastoral counseling, they would marry us. We agreed. We did that. Never went back. Until we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and we made him part of our lives, and we went back to that church. And in their ignorance, they made me a deacon and youth director almost immediately. I don't think that's wise. Scripture says never use a novice. But anyway, when I felt called to head off to the ministry, this church stood behind me while I was in Bible college. When I took my first pastorate of 12 people with a total income of $250 a month, this church was there to help me. When we served with Bancroft as missionaries for 15 years, this church stood with us. And they are wanting to kind of celebrate the years that they've been a part of our lives, and now that we're no longer going to be one of their missionaries, they've asked me to come up and close their missions conference. And they said, no big pressure or anything like that, but we're really hoping that our mission budget explodes this year. No pressure, they said. Don't worry about it. So pray with us on those two things. One, for a home, for a house. We have a home, but we're looking for a house, and for our trip to Michigan. Let's pray. Father, we submit ourselves into your hands, asking you to work in our lives. We live in a world and a culture that is against living for you, being a vessel for your honor. And yet we know that you went to the cross for us, and you should mean everything to us, that it changes us from the inside out in every area of life. Speak to us through your word, and we'll thank you for what you accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Got a question for you this morning. And the question is this. Are you gullible? That sounds a little rough, maybe. But to be gullible is one who is easily fooled, someone that is cheated out of something, someone who is gullible, is quick to believe something that is not true. And you've seen them as well as I have, these infomercials, why you buy this tonic, you do this thing, it'll put hair on your head. It don't work. No, I didn't try them all. But you've seen them. You know, you do this 10-minute exercise every day, you'll lose 40 pounds in the first week. And we're looking for these quick fixes, aren't we? And, you know, buy this pill, drink this formula, you know, buy this, I forgot the name of it. It was a banjo minnow. Buy this banjo minnow and you will catch anything from a from a bluegill to a striper, you know, and so we just send in our credit card numbers. We got to have this latest thing. We are gullible. Amen? Gotcha, some of you anyway. Well, because we're gullible, there are hucksters out there. They're trying to sell us a bill of goods. They're trying to convince us. They have the magic formula. They're trying to tell us that if we just follow their simple three-step plan, we will find success. We will be rich. We will be thin. We will be muscle men. We will be muscle men. That fits, doesn't it? Didn't even think about that at the moment. We've got these hucksters out there, and they're I didn't know how you wanted to use a African term. I'll use the African term. And the African term is they're raping us of our finances. There are hucksters in Africa, these evangelists and these prophets, and they're out there and they're taking everything away from the people. I've seen Africans bring offerings and lay them on the altar and lay them on the steps, and it's all going to the guy up here. There's hucksters out there, even in the spiritual realm. And we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, we will be rewarded this certificate. The Hook, Line, and Sinker Award. I be snookered has been given this award for being so gullible as to believe the following to be true. It is easy to be a Christian and hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And who is it that gives you this award? Why, it is none other than Lucifer Bedevil. We don't want to be snookered. This doesn't want to be the thing. So, if I am going to be a vessel for honor, it's a process. No quick fixes. No magic wands. No walking an aisle, saying a prayer, and poof, you'll never have trouble again. It's a process. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 20 through 26 to the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 20. And we read, "Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Now, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's reminding him of this process, and he's talking about these vessels, vessels of honor. And I have a couple up here. He says there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And this will represent the vessel of honor. This is what I want to be, a vessel for honor for him. This is a used styrofoam cup. And it's going to represent a vessel of dishonor. So when it comes to my relationship with him, I need to make sure that I am a student of the Word of God, because I don't want to make a mistake. If I give myself over to the preachers of the day, it is possible, because I am sinful and because I am gullible, I am looking for a quick fix, it is possible that I would swallow a doctrine, a teaching, a truth that is not biblical and find myself astray. It happens. It happens to us. I guess it was Thursday. I was coming back from visiting Wayne and Vicky, and I turned off of 9 onto 7, and there was a couple that were carrying some grocery bags and looking for a ride. And so I pulled over and, and asked them if they needed a lift, and they were just tickled. And so they got into the vehicle, great, nice couple, and they started talking about how God had answered prayer and different things. And I said, you know, you've talked about God. Tell me about this guy. Who are you talking about? Well, they said, you know, God. And I said, well, what God? And they said, well, Jesus. I said, all right, now I have an idea where you're coming from. And so let's talk a little bit more. And they were sharing with me just different things that God had done while they'd been camping. They'd been camping for quite some time now, and miracles and different things that God had happened. And boy, they were just really excited. And I was listening with great anticipation. They shared with me that they had listened to a preacher preach that there was no longer no condemnation on them who believe. Then they attended a local church here, and the pastor happened to end the message by reminding us that there is no condemnation. And that just kind of perked my interest. And so as we're working our way up through Sleepy Creek there, I just asked, I said, how long have you been married? And they weren't. And I said, well, don't you find it hard camping together and keeping yourself sexually pure? And they said, well, people sin. And I said, I realize that. But I said, at the same time, once I've come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, there is to be a striving in my life to change. And even the context where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, it goes on to say, for those who walk by the Spirit and no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I just shared with them that struggle, and I took them to this passage that we're looking at this morning and shared with them that what I would be preaching on. Because it's easy to get astray. I mean, we don't check things out. We hear something, and we swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and we really haven't thought the thing through. All of us are susceptible to that. And that's why God says, be not deceived, because we can be gullible. We can swallow things that are not true. And the scripture says, do not deceive yourself, because we can come up with ideas and thoughts that aren't biblical. And so we have to be on our toes. And so Paul is writing to this guy and trying to remind him that he needs to be that vessel for honor. In verse 20, he says, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. So Paul is just pointing out to Timothy that in this great house there are two kinds of vessels. There is the honorable vessel, and there is the dishonorable vessel. There is that which is of great use, and there is that which is not of great use. Now, if you study commentaries, in fact, if you have a study Bible, I would be curious to see what your footnotes say. Not now. You're not looking at seeing what he has to say. You're listening to me right now, all right? You can check him out later. But you oftentimes find individuals that look at this passage and they say, well, what Paul is talking about is that in the church, in this great house, there are believers and unbelievers. There's wheat and there's tares. And so they go on to show that this is really dealing with trying to determine whether or not I'm a believer or not. Now, I don't really have a problem with that view. I really don't. I have great confidence in those that hold that view. And perhaps you hold that view. And that's fine, too. I'm not going to argue with you. But we live in America. And if you want to be wrong, that's fine. I mean, that's just up to you. But I look at this a little bit different. Because if we take the context of the whole book, we will notice that Paul has been saying to this young man, Timothy, rekindle the fire. Be strong in the grace of God. Endure sufferings as a good soldier. Play by the rules. Run to win like an athlete. Work hard like a farmer. Strive to be a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Those who are his will depart from iniquity. Paul is not writing to unbelievers. Paul is writing to this young man who has cooled off a little bit. And he's saying, now come on, Timothy, it's your turn. You rekindle that fire. You honor him. You become that vessel for honor. And so I see this not necessarily as talking about in the church there are believers and unbelievers, and that's true. There is tares amongst the wheat, and we have to be careful of that and be aware of that. But I think what Paul is dealing with here is asking Timothy, asking me to evaluate my life. Look at verse 21. Because in verse 21, he says this, therefore, vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself. See that? That's personal, isn't it? If anyone cleanses himself, Paul says, from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. So I think this is personal. I think the instruction that we're finding here isn't to determine who's a saved person, who's not a saved person. I think what Paul is telling this young man, you need to depart from all iniquity. You need to keep that fire burning. You need to be a good soldier. You need to be a hard worker. You need to be like an athlete. You bring yourself in submission and you please him. He's everything to you, remember? So I think Paul is trying to give some instruction here. And so he says that if we will cleanse ourselves from these things, we will become a vessel that brings him honor and glory. So we'll be a vessel for honor, not dishonor. I will be set apart as holy, unique, an instrument belonging to God. I will be useful for the master, and I will be ready for every good work. Notice what he says there in verse 21. Timothy, if anyone, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any individual that really is able to sing and able to say, he is everything to me, will do his very best to clean out his life, empty the closets, get rid of the skeletons, make the changes that are necessary, and if he does that, he will be a vessel for honor. He will be set apart as holy for God's purpose, for God's glory. He will be useful in the house of the master, ready for any and every good work. Now, can you imagine what a church body could accomplish in this world if every one of us that came together to worship together, if this was our goal, if this was our desire, can you imagine what we could accomplish in this world today? And this is exactly what God is looking for. He is looking for men and women, boys and girls, who have first of all come to him in repentance, turned from their sins, accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, placed their faith in him, and are willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And every one of us, that's my goal, that's your desire, I'm sure, is that we want to be a vessel for honor for Christ. Amen? I don't think anybody heard that. We want to be that vessel for honor. Amen? You got that on tape? All right, it's recorded. You said it. Well, how do we do it? I'm glad you asked. Because Paul doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. But before we read on, if you remember back in 1 Corinthians, there was some counsel about this wood and hay and gold and silver and all of that. It's having to do with how I live my life and serving him. And so in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 14 through 17, it says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, your choice. Every morning, you wake up, you choose what material you're going to build your life with. And not only every morning, because you might wake up like me. You wake up in the morning and say, all right, Lord, I'm gonna please you. I want to honor you. I want to serve you today. I don't want to make another fool of myself. I don't want to be gullible. I want to really bring you honor. And I get going, and I start out real well. But about noon, I got to say, whoa, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm starting to use some wood here, some hay, some stubble. We've got to start over. But Paul is just saying, it's our choice. We choose what kind of material. He said, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. You don't have to give an account for me. I don't have to give an account for you. When I stand before the Lord, I stand before him alone. He will examine my life, and I have to give an account for me. And so will you. So he goes on to say, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. He will be ashamed. Remember last week, Awana, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There will be many who will stand before him, and they will be ashamed because they used the wrong materials to build with. The following two verses say, do you not know? He's writing to the church at Corinth. Do you not know that you are God's temple? And God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone will destroy him. I'm sorry, if anyone will destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy. And you are that temple. So Paul says, Timothy, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And if a man will cleanse himself of those things that are dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honor. And he will be ready to do whatever the master says. So, look back at 2 Timothy. Verse 20 and 21 lays the groundwork. We want to be a vessel of honor. We don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. In fact, my wife came home last night, and this morning she saw this setting up on the counter, not knowing that it was a sermon illustration. And I came in here and listening to the praise band, and they thought I was coming to get my mic, and I said no, and I thought, I'm glad you asked, because I forgot something. So I went and got my cup. Guess where I found it? Why? Dishonorable. Dishonorable. So verse 22, we're told, first of all, to flee. He says, flee youthful passions. What are youthful passions? You know what youthful passions are. That's when you live for you. That's what kids do, isn't it? You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They are selfish. You don't have to teach a child to be mean to somebody else. They are mean. We are born sinful. And through the growing process, we as parents have to do what we can to try to break that rebellious spirit, to train them up in the way in which they go, that they bring honor to God. And Paul is just saying to Timothy, you're a grown man now. Flee youthful passions, youthful lusts. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about pleasing him and honoring him and glorifying him. So he says, so, you want to be a vessel of honor? Flee youthful passions. But then we're also told down in verse 23 through 26, we're to be careful how we live, to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. He says in verse 23, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Doesn't mean that we don't debate sometimes. Doesn't mean that we have to agree. In fact, we may come face to face. Paul did with Peter. Paul did with Barnabas. They had strong discussions. But we do so in a way that we walk away in a godly manner. It's not about me. It's not. I'm not out to win this battle. I'm just trying to stand for truth and try to help you to see it. And that's what Paul is dealing with there. Verse 25, correcting his opponent. You got to call a spade a spade. You call sin, sin. You call error, error. But you're careful how you do it. And you correct your opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance. We give up on people too quickly. They don't dot their I's like I dot my I's. They don't cross their T's like I cross my T's. I want nothing to do with you. No. Remember when Apollos came to town and he was preaching and Priscilla and Aquila heard him preach and they're shaking their heads saying, boy, he ain't got it. he don't have it. Oh, but he's gifted. I mean, he understands the Old Testament. He understands what John taught. He's oh, can you see the potential there? And they reached down and they grabbed Apollos, took him aside, ministered to him, mentored him, and he became a great spokesman for God. But Aquila and Priscilla had to pull him off the side and say, Apollos, you ain't got it yet. You don't know the whole picture. Let me help you. And so Paul just says that we need to be careful here. We need to correct our opponents, but with gentleness. That God may perhaps bring repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses. It is Satan who's got their eyes blinded. He is the one that has them in the fog. He is the one that sold them the bill of goods. He is the huckster that they believed. Remember that. Because we want to let them escape from the snare of the devil and being captured by him to do his will. So we flee. Every believer has a responsibility to flee, to run, flee youthful lusts, flee immorality. Come to God, draw near to him, cling to him, and then Satan will flee from us. But we flee certain things, but then we pursue things. Notice he says in verse 22, we flee youthful lusts, but we pursue righteousness. Righteousness is doing what is right. Righteousness is just getting up in the morning and deciding that whatever comes my way, I am going to do what's right. I may not feel like it, but I'm going to do what's right because it's honoring to God. Now, let's be honest. Some of us didn't come to church because it was right. Some of us came to church this morning because that's what Christians do. You know, if I give God an hour, he'll take care of me for 6 days and 23 hours. Now we come to church because it's the right thing to do. We want him. We don't want to forsake the assembly together. We realize that God speaks through his word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. There is strength in fellowship. And so we become a part of the body because it's the right thing to do. And so we seek righteousness. We pursue righteousness. We pursue a life that does what is right for honoring and glorifying God. And we pursue faith. Oh, that's hard. Faith is hard. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy. I mean, even right now, here we are. We've been looking for a house for over 3 months, and nothing seems to be working out. It's hard sometimes. But you pursue it. There are promises in the Bible you have to believe. And you keep pursuing. You pursue righteousness. You pursue faith. You pursue love. You want to be an individual known of love, and that doesn't mean form, warm and fuzzy. Because love sometimes does hard things. Love does what is right. Love speaks out against wrong because you love the person. And so you pursue love. You're just pursuing the benefit of the other individual. And so godly individuals, vessels for honor, pursue righteousness, they pursue faith, they pursue love, they pursue peace. They're not troublemakers. They're not the ones causing trouble. They're careful how they handle themselves. They're trying their very best to live at peace with all men. And they're trying to live in such a way that people look at them and people have to, at least if not in this life, they will in the next life have to glorify God. Because of their lifestyle, because of their walk, because of their light. In fact, we're supposed to live in such a way that we put to silence the foolish talk of individuals. And folks, you know as well as I do, there's a lot of talk out there about us, Christians. And we've earned some of that. We have earned some of that. Preachers who have fallen, musicians who have fallen, deacons who have fallen, elders who have fallen, choir members who have fallen. We've earned some of that. So we have to be careful. So Paul is saying to Timothy, to be a vessel of honor, a vessel for honor, it's a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's getting up every morning and setting out with determination to bring him glory. And there'll be challenges. There'll be challenges. Because few are pursuing that, because the things that we flee, other people pursue. We live in a world that's pursuing youthful lusts. We live in a culture that lives for the moment. We live in a culture of people who pursue arguments and questions and all of that. And the morning that you wake up and you say, Lord, I'm gonna flee these things. I'm going to flee youthful lust. I'm going to flee these quarrelsomes. I'm going to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. And that day when you're the weakest, at your weakest moment, you're going to run into this idiot, I mean this guy, and he's gonna push your button. And you're likely to respond, listen, jerk, when you get your head on straight, come back and we'll talk. That's probably not the right thing to do. Scratch that. That's when you have to swallow. You put your hand on their shoulder and you say, listen, you and I are on two separate pages here. And we can talk about this. And maybe we should talk about this. But right now, I've got feelings in me that I probably need to keep under control. So let's pick this up later. And we can discuss this in a way that brings God's glory. So we're careful. And so Paul is writing to this young man. The context before this, it was the Iwana, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He goes on further and saying, we want to be this vessel of honor. How do we do that? There are things we must flee. There are things that we must pursue. But I really believe in all my heart that all of us need a fresh start. All of us need a fresh start. And you know what? I think this morning's a good time to do that. In fact, if I would have warned the sound guys, they could go back and play that part where you said, amen. We want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel for honor. Folks, listen, when you walk out those doors, you're going to be carrying a lot of weight. Some of you came in those doors with a lot of weight. God knows that. He knows what you're going through. And I don't have answers for you. But I do know this, that if you know him as Lord and Savior, he is desiring, he is wanting, he's expecting you to bring him glory through it. And we do that by pursuing righteousness. I want to do what's right here, Lord. We do that by pursuing faith. I don't understand this. I don't like it. But I know you're in control, and I will trust you. And we do this by pursuing love. We love him with all our heart and soul and mind, all our strength. And we love our neighbor as ourself. And we do this by pursuing peace. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. I want God's glory. Would you bow with me this morning? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I think it's time for a fresh start. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, the praise band will be coming up. I'd like you to talk to God. Maybe he's been talking to you. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to make some changes. If he spoke to you and you're desiring to do what he wants you to do, then just tell him you want to become a vessel for his honor. Tell him you're sorry about yesterday. You're sorry about last week and whatever, but just talk to him. Ask him to forgive you, because a broken heart and a contrite spirit is a sacrifice that God loves. And when we come to him in that brokenness and we confess our mess ups, he reaches down and not only does he forgive, but he cleanses. He buries that sin as deep as the deepest sea. He takes that sin and he puts it behind his back, never to remember it again. But then he wants us to get up, brush ourselves off, flee certain things, and pursue certain things for his glory. If you're here this morning and you would like me to remember you in prayer, would you just raise your hand up and write back down that I would remember you? Amen. Good, good, good. Hands all over. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not sure of that relationship with Jesus Christ, this morning would be a good time to do that. As Rachel sang, that story of Christ coming and going to the cross of Calvary to die in my place, why he loves us, I don't know, but he did. And if you have never come to know the forgiveness of God, right where you're seated, just say, God, I want to be your child. I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I realize that Jesus Christ did this for me. And I place my faith and trust in him. And if any of you would need someone to talk to, I am here. I'm available. I would love to minister to you, to help you along in this journey, because it's a journey. I'm with you. I got to start over often, but we can do this together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Oh, sometimes it cuts, but it reminds us of what we need to strive for. It reminds us that we need to bring you glory. We want to be vessels for your honor. We want to be light in the midst of the darkness in the world in which we live. Thank you for the tender hearts this morning, those who have raised their hands. You know their hearts. You know what they're dealing with. And I would pray that you would minister to them and give them the grace and the strength that they need. And Father, help us as a body of believers to come together, that we would support one another and encourage one another and help each other along this journey. Father, if there be anyone here that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that you would speak to them, and this morning would be the time that they would do that. And if anybody here would like to talk with me further or talk to someone, there are several of us that would be more than happy. Glorify yourself in our midst. Forgive us of our sins and help us to become a light in this dark world. And we'll thank you for what you accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.